We know that people like Jeffrey Epstein, it's now public record, were involved as early as 2017 in setting up the scheme of this great pandemic for some investors to make a fortune, such as Bill Gates. Epstein and Bill Gates discussed, matter of public record, of how to get rid of the poor people. And of course, it was used at the same time to push digital ID. Realize it's not just financial activities, it's about all activities. And the programmability is a key feature. The Bank of England asked the government, the politicians in the UK, to give them the power to have programmable digital currency. And that is a control tool. The pilot CBDC projects that are ongoing, you know, for example, this one in Brazil in particular, experts have already found out, yes, it has all those features. You can freeze transactions, you can take people's money away, you can intervene in those ways. Now, the central planners claim, we will not abuse the limitless power that digital ID and CBDCs will give us. Okay. Well, should we trust them? Well, I can be brief here. I think all of you know examples of how sort of this sort of power has already been abused. Just thinking of Justin Trudeau's ending the peaceful demonstrations by truckers in Ottawa. Their bank accounts were frozen. Their ability to buy food is how they got them. Too few used cash and digital currency. Well, they didn't have CBDCs, so they had to pass laws to do it, and that will be very easy once you have CBDCs. The police froze 206 financial products, including bank and corporate accounts, disclosed 56 entities associated with vehicles, facial recognition, even 253 Bitcoin addresses were identified, and PayPal was also shut down. So that's how they can do it. Now, interestingly, no such financial controls had been used previously to stop criminals. But, of course, peaceful demonstrating citizens, that's when it seems the central planners get pretty creative about how to stop people. And, of course, we all know what happened in 2020. Digital ID suddenly were a topic. Vaccination passports as a backdoor to introduce digital ID. And then, of course, programmability. You can you know, close access if you don't do X, Y, Z. And can be anything the government central planners decide. And now we have the EU commissars already abusing their dictatorial powers that they've had for a while, but now they're showing these powers, by declaring polite, very polite, considered critics like Jacques Bourg, you know, a Swiss former sort of army officer in his, you know, just giving his opinions. He's an outlaw now. He's been sanctioned. He can't buy food. He can't leave the country, Belgium, in order to travel back to Switzerland. It is quite extraordinary. Now, on the monetary front, the CBDC is the biggest upheaval in our monetary system in more than 300 years. But the digital aspect is not new. What is happening, therefore, is the centralization, but it's a particular type of centralization. The central banks are ripping up the old agreement between the banks and the central banks, which was that the central banks deal with banks and the banks deal with us. And overall, the banks haven't really abused that. You know, they've never sold our data ever, our transactions data. They haven't. That's really why they've become the enemy, because that's supposed to be a currency that they want to sell and trade. And banks have refused to do that. So the central banks are now stepping into the arena and want to compete against their regulated, the banks. This is like playing football. The umpire saying, well, it's a bit boring. I'm going to join. I'm going to score some goals, but I'll still reserve the right to blow the whistle, give the red card, give the yellow card. Who's going to win that game? So the bank regulators will compete against the banks. Because CBDC is just a current account at the central bank. That's what's happening. Of course, this conflict of interest explains what the central banks have been doing. They've been taking anti-bank policies for many decades. Already in 2002, I warned about how the central banks were creating these asset bubbles, banking crises, recessions. And of course, that has continued ever since. Unabated, we've got regulatory moral hazard. The more crises they create, the more powers we give them. Each time they demand, oh, it's because we didn't have enough powers, which is not actually true and should have been stopped earlier. So can we trust the central banks to give them yet more power? I think the answer should be a resounding no. The high inflation that started in 21 was created by the central banks. No matter what they tell you about wars, the economics is very clear. I could forecast it quite successfully from May 2020 onwards that 18 months later we'll get significant inflation because the money creation was just massive, off the charts. Then the central bank has imposed a fake pandemic. You know that story. And we know that people like Jeffrey Epstein, it's now public record, were involved as early as 2017 in setting up the scheme of this great pandemic for some investors to make a fortune, such as Bill Gates. And then we can also make money injecting people with stuff and solve the problem, as Epstein and Bill Gates discussed, matter of public record, of how to get rid of the poor people. And of course, it was used at the same time to push digital ID. Now, this is, you know, what they're giving us is not the only option. We can have prosperity. Their goal is zero growth, negative growth. Germany now, third year of recession, first time since 1933. But actually, we could have high growth everywhere in the world and prosperity for all. How do you do that? 200 years of strong economic growth in Germany were due to many, many small banks, local money creation, money lent to small firms. They're the main employer, 60%, 70% of employment is with SMEs. That's how you spread the prosperity. These hidden champions in Germany, where Germany really sticks out, is small firms that are global market leaders. Yes. Now, how is that possible? Because Germany has the largest number of banks in Europe. Well, we should use past tense, had the largest number of banks. And they were mostly small local banks. That is the way to generate prosperity. But the central planners don't like that, and they've been killing banks. So ECB policies have been very successful. Under the ECB, a very young central bank, already 6,000 banks have disappeared in Europe. And surprise, surprise, it's not Goldman Sachs that has disappeared. So last chance saloon, and I'm wrapping up here. The overarching trend of the 20th century was the concentration of power in the hands of few and fewer people. Lord Acton, quite wisely, and he was really an observer of politics for many decades, concluded power corrupts. That's the reality. That's human nature. If you give people power and too much power, it will lead to bad results. Absolute power corrupts, absolutely. So we have to stop the further spread of digital ID and the introduction of CBDCs. Already Europe is being deindustrialized, economically destroyed. We can't give these central planners that have delivered this yet more powers. Instead, we need to decentralize, break up the concentrated power, oppose digital ID. We are sovereign individuals. We don't need to prove our identity. If somebody wants to check identity, well, that's their problem. We need to oppose digital asset registers and tokenization of our assets and of nature. And we need, most of all, of course, to oppose CBDCs. A decentralized monetary system is the future. Many small local banks in a decentralized fashion implementing subsidiarity. That is proven to be very successful. That's how China became an economic superpower within one generation. They moved from one bank in the Soviet system, central planners loved it, to 5,000 banks with 30 loan offices in 35 branches. That's more than 5 million people checking millions and millions of small firm loan applications for productive business investment. It's easier to find people to govern themselves than people fit to govern others, because those who are currently governing us, they're not fit to do so. Thank you very much.
Subscribe to One India and never miss an update. Download the One India app now.